I want you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and we are going to begin at verse number 14 and go to the end of the section of the scripture, actually the chapter. If you have read through this often, I will just say it's easy to get messed up with all the words, okay? It's easy to miss what's happening. And so I want to take our time and go through it. Hopefully my outline will be of help to you in understanding what is being said here. When we were born, my guess is not a one of us can remember anything at all about our birth. I don't remember much before I was five. Sometimes I don't remember much before I was, 75? Or I'll just use that as a conservative figure. We were born with one nature. It is an old sin nature, which all of us inherited from our fathers. This old sin nature goes all the way back to Adam, and it is passed on to us through our fathers. This old nature will remain with us throughout our lifetimes. It is never eradicated in this lifetime. When we are saved, we also received a new, sinless, Christ-like nature. So now, as believers, we have two natures, and these natures are in constant conflict with each other. In Romans 7, 14 through 25, we see the inability of the flesh, which is another name for the old sin nature. We see the inability of the flesh to have victory over sin. Not that it wants it. Victory over sin comes only by the power of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this passage, we see three confessions. Each confession contains a statement, a proof, and a conclusion. The pattern is repeated in each confession. In verses 14 through 17, we see the first confession. And then in verse 14, we see the first statement. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We know indicates that there is no doubt in the apostle's mind regarding this. What we know is that the law is spiritual. The Mosaic law is spiritual. It means there is nothing wrong with it. Spiritual means pertaining to the Spirit. It suggests that the law was inspired by God the Holy Spirit, and that spiritual persons recognize it properly. But is introducing a statement in mild contrast to this statement that the law is spiritual. I am carnal, where I is emphatic and refers to Paul, means I am fleshly, or I am in the manner of the flesh. Fleshly is used in contrast to spiritual. The tense of sold indicates an action completed in the past with its result continuing on. Paul is saying that he was sold under sin in the past and that he remains sold under sin. In this context, under sin suggests under the power of sin, under the rule of sin, under the sovereignty of sin, But Paul finds himself under the rule of sin, or under sin's rule. By the way, we're suffering that same situation. In verses 15 and 16, their proof of this statement is seen. Romans 7:15 through 16 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Now, of course, I understand that you got every phrase in there and you fully comprehend the whole thing. But just in case you missed a word or so, we'll go through this and break it down and see if we can't really grasp what it's saying. In verse 15, Paul seeks to explain why the law is spiritual, but why he is carnal, sold under sin, as is introduced by 4. Paul says, "I do not understand what I do. That which I do is what I am achieving or what I'm accomplishing." Allow means understand or comprehend. And its tense is indicating continuing action. I allow not is understood in the sense of I do not comprehend, I do not understand, I am not comprehending, or I am not understanding. I do not understand what I am doing. We've got that problem lots of times, not just in this context. Paul also says, "I do not do what I resolve to do." What I would means what I will, and is used of purpose or resolve. Its tense also indicates continuing or continuous action. That refers to what I do, what I will to do, or what I resolve to do. Do I not means I do not accomplish or I do not practice. Its present tense indicates continuing or habitual action. It is something that is going on all the time. Not is placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, "not what I will" or "not what I resolve." This I am practicing. In addition, Paul says, "I do what I hate," but introduces a statement in strong contrast to "what I would, that do I not." What I hate is used in the sense of what I detest or what I abhor. Its tense indicates continuous or continuing action in the sense of what I am detesting or what I am abhorring, that, which refers to what I'm hating, that do I. It's also indicating continuing action in the sense of that I am doing. The reason Paul knows that the law is spiritual and that he is carnal is because he is not doing the things he is determining or resolving to do, but instead he is doing the things he is hating. You know what that's like if you're a saved person. You have two natures which are in conflict with each other. One is saying, "Do this. Oh, it's all right that it's wrong. Do it anyhow and enjoy it." And your new sinless nature is saying, "Don't do it. And what do you end up doing? Unfortunately, sometimes it's what we should not be doing, though we knew it. But that's the problem. In verse 16, Paul's reasons, if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If I do that which I would not is a condition which, for sake of emphasis, is assumed to be true. Since it's actually true, if should be understood in the sense of because I do that which I would not, since I do that which I would not, or inasmuch as I do what I would not. Then is used in the sense of now and indicates a continuation of the thought of the previous verse, I do. It suggests I am doing. That which I would not is what I do not will. The clause is literally, now if what I am not willing, this I am doing. I'm resolving to do something, but I don't do what I'm resolving to do. I'm resolving to do something that's good and proper, but I do something else instead. That which I would not is what I do not will. The clause is literally, now, if what I am not willing, this I am doing. That's the condition. The conclusion of the conditional statement is, I consent unto the law that it is good. Since the condition is true, the conclusion of it is also true. I consent is, I am agreeing. The law is the Mosaic law, and Paul is agreeing with the law that it is good. Since Paul does the things which he does not will to do, he agrees with the law that the law is good, because the things he wills to do are consistent with the law. We have this problem. The problem isn't the law. We agree with the law because the law says you shouldn't do it, but we do it anyway. So the fact that we know that the law says you shouldn't do it, we know that the law is right. Verse 17 goes on, we see the conclusion of this first statement. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now then introduces Paul's conclusion of this first confession. He uses a strengthened form of now for emphasis, and then is used to continue the thought. No more means no longer. It is no more I that do it, is I am no longer doing it. And I is emphatic. Do is the word meaning achieve or accomplish. It's the same term translated by the first do in verse 15 and is used in reference to what I do not wish or what I hate from verse 15, but introduces a statement in strong contrast to it is no more I that do it. Sin is doing it. Sin is doing what Paul wills not to do and what Paul hates, rather than Paul himself doing it. When you will to do something that is right and you find yourself doing something you hate, it isn't you. Distinguish between yourself as an individual and your sin nature. It is your sin nature that is doing it. That's the point. This sin is described by that dwelleth in me, that is dwelling in me. This is not some specific sin. Rather, this is the old sin nature, which still has its residence in Paul, even though Paul has died with reference to it, so that it can no longer rule over him apart from his permission. Unfortunately, though we have died with reference to it, it is still resident in us. And when we yield to the old sin nature, which is still there, though we aren't forced against our will to do it, yet we're submitting to it, and as a result, we commit sin. Paul has realized that it is not he who is doing what he hates, but it is his old sin nature which is doing what he hates. Now, I wouldn't be shocked to learn that every one of us who is saved had a problem with this already this morning, at least yesterday, and if not then, certainly the day before that. We've got a problem. It's called a sin nature. My wife and I used to tease each other. I told her that I was looking forward to her being rid of her sin nature. She told me the same thing. My wife was pretty sharp that way. She knew how to talk to me and get her message across. She did lots of times. That's what wives do. It's what husbands do too, by the way, in case you didn't know it, ladies. We have sin natures. We don't like it. We wish they were gone. But they're not gone. You're still plagued with it. Oh, that it would be gone. This is where the holiness crowd, I wish they were right on one thing. They think that they have a second work of grace and their old nature's eradicated forever. Too bad it's not true. Too bad it's not scriptural. I wish it were. I'd like to be rid of it. I always told my wife I'd like her to be rid of hers too. But, you know, what she told me in response, of course you do. Just like what you'd have told your husband or your wife. Well, let's go on into the second confession in verses 18 through 20. The second confession. There's the second statement in verse 18a. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For I know expresses Paul's certainty. What he knows, as is obvious, is that in me dwelleth no good thing. In me is amplified by that is in my flesh. By in my flesh, Paul means in his old sin nature. He does not mean in his physical body. The tense of dwelleth indicates continuing or continuous action in the sense of dwells or is dwelling. In my old sin nature dwells no good thing. There's nothing whatsoever that is a part of that old sin nature that is good. It is wicked. It is in defiance and rebellion against God. And it will never do anything to please God. Then there's the proof of this second statement in verses 18b through 19. Four could be explanatory, or it could be causal and understood as because. To will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. This is the proof that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul says, to will is present with me. It means that Paul intends to do right. And its tense indicates that this is Paul's customary or normal habit. It's always this way. I want to do right. Paul also says, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. But is introducing a mild contrast to will is present with me. How to perform is understood in the sense of how to achieve or how to accomplish. Its tense indicates continuous or continuing action in the sense of how to be achieving or how to be accomplishing. Although I want to do right and I intend to do right, how to be accomplishing this doing of right, I find not. I do not discover it. In spite of Paul's intention of doing good, somehow the good he desires to do keeps eluding him. You wonder what's wrong with your children? They've got an old sin nature. That's what's wrong with them. And they may not have a new sinless nature. No matter how many times you correct them, you can't beat that old sin nature out of them, though you might like to, especially when you're frustrated with them exercising your old sin nature, okay? You've never done anything like that, have you? It's just always everybody else that does that. People in other churches, not this church, okay? Paul concludes, therefore, that no good thing dwells in him. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. For the good which I would is the good that I will. Would is the same word used in verses 15 and 16. It was used also in verse 18, but it was translated will. It means will and indicates purpose or resolve. What Paul wills or determines, or we could say, or resolves to do, he's not doing. Have you ever made up your mind that this is what you're going to do and it's the right thing? And then when it comes time to do it, you don't do it. Every one of us has done that, unfortunately, too many times. Paul goes on, but the evil which I would not, that I do. But is introducing a statement in strong contrast to the good which I would, I do not. What Paul finds himself doing or accomplishing or practicing is evil. It is the opposite of what he wills, determines, or resolves to do. Verse 19 is understood in the sense of, for I am not doing what good thing I will to do, I determine to do, or I resolve to do, but I am practicing what evil thing I will, I determine, or resolve not to do. Frustrating, isn't it? That's what Paul thinks too, or thought. He's not thinking that anymore. He ceased doing any external thinking at this point in life. In verse 20, there's the conclusion of this second statement. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, of course it does. In the Greek text, now if I do that I would not is a quotation from the first half of verse 16 with one slight exception. You can't see it in the English text. An emphatic form of the personal pronoun I is used in verse 20, which was not used in verse 16, but the English looks the same. In addition, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me is a quotation from verse 17, except that the first two words in verse 17 are not repeated in verse 20. But it's no wonder it sounds familiar. We just read it a couple minutes ago. This shows that Paul's line of reasoning in verses 14 and 15 is parallel to his line of reasoning in verses 18 and 19. And then we come to the word finally. Yes, it's my last point, but it won't be over really fast, all right? We see in verses 21 and 25 the third confession. There's the third statement in verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Then introduces an inference Paul is drawing from the previous verses. It's understood in the sense of therefore, so, or you see. I find a law is I find the law. It is the specific law or principle which follows. The specific principle is that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I will do good is literally with the one willing to do good, that is with me, where me is emphatic. Evil is present with me, where me is again emphatic, and it means that evil is present with the Apostle Paul who wills to do good, and what is true of Paul is also true of all other believers as well, including you and me. I wish it weren't true, but it is true. This should not be understood to mean that evil is present with Paul only when he wills to do good, as if he might only will to do good at certain times. This is certainly not, or clearly not, the implication of this text. The problem is that evil is always present. Paul refers to himself literally as the one willing to do good. The tense of would, that is, willing, indicates that this is his constant desire and intent. Consequently, evil is also constantly present with him. So, I have two natures. My old sin nature always wants to do what is evil, wrong, bad, sin. My new sinless nature, Christ-like nature, always wants to do what God wants me to do. And that's the conflict. By repeating it three times, hopefully we get the idea eventually of what he's talking about. The idea that chapter 7, this is a false idea. The false idea that chapter 7 refers to the time in Paul's life before he was saved, while chapter 8 refers to the time in Paul's life after he was saved, is not consistent with the rest of Scripture. Nor is it consistent with experience to believe that chapter 7 refers to a carnal state which Paul overcame once and for all when he was filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 8. Those two things are both wrong. it is far more reasonable to understand both chapters 7 and 8 as normal for all believers all the time. Chapter 7 details the conflict between the old and new natures, both of which are found in every believer, whereas chapter 8 explains how every believer can enjoy victory over sin through the Holy Spirit in spite of the presence of an evil sin nature. The proof of this third statement is seen in verses 22 and 23. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Verse 22 might be used to explain verse 21, or it might serve to show cause, meaning to show the reason verse 21 is true. If it's used to explain, then 4 is understood in the sense of now. However, if Paul intended to show cause, then 4 is understood in the sense of because. So is it now I delight in the law of God after the inward man, or because I delight in the law of God after the inward man? You cannot really decide that. I delight means I joyfully agree with. That's kind of like you and your spouse. I joyfully agree with my spouse most of the time. Occasionally, once in a great while, hopefully it's all the time. Okay, hopefully. But remember, your spouse has an old sin nature problem. And so does his spouse or her spouse. Yep, you know how that goes. And we've said that enough times. I hope you get the idea. I really am not preaching at people who aren't here. That's not true, I guess, because I'm on the internet as well. So there are some people who are not here that I'm preaching at. It's not just the people in the other churches, by the way. What Paul delights in or joyfully agrees with is the law of God. The context indicates that this law is the law which God, meaning God the Father himself, gave. The law of God is used in contrast to the law of sin in verse 23. After the inward man means according to the inner man, with reference to the inner man or pertaining to the inner man. This verse shows that Paul's attitude toward God and toward his law was good. However, in verse 23, Paul continues, I see another law in my members. Verse 23 forms a mild contrast with verses 21 and 22, and it's introduced by but. I see another law in my members indicates a second principle. In my members is in my parts or in my limbs and has reference to parts of Paul's body. In my members is simply another way of saying in me. This other law wars against the law of my mind. It's warring with the law of my mind. The second law is at war with the law of my mind. This law of Paul's mind is the one referred to in verses 21 and 22, where Paul described it as the law of God after the inner man. Paul wills to do good. However, this other law or principle also brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The result of this second law is described by and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Bringing me into captivity is capturing in war. There's a warfare going on in you. You know that. You want to do right, but somehow you don't do it. You don't want to do wrong, but somehow you do it. I have the same problem. So does everybody else if he's honest with you. Won't it be nice when at the rapture or death, whichever comes first, the old sin nature is gone forever? It will be nice. I look forward to all of you being rid of your old sin natures, and I know you look forward to me being rid of mine. It's just the way it is. We don't like it at all. But it's an existing fact. You might not like a lot of things, and this is one of them, but you're going to have to live with it for the rest of this life. But you can live godly in spite of it, which of course is exactly what you need to do, what I need to do. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's the means by which Paul is captured. The law of sin is the law or principle which is sin. In verses 24 and 25, we see the conclusion of this third statement. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In verse 24, Paul exclaims, I am wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. It's not just everybody else that's a wretch. We are too. Paul wills to do good, but he finds himself captured by sin, and he exclaims, oh, wretched man that I am, which means miserable or distressed man that I am, where I is emphatic. In verse 24, Paul also acknowledges, I am helpless. He can't stop this. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When he asks this question, the war which is going on is in his members. He's not asking to be delivered from his physical body, but from the body of this death, meaning the body characterized by this death. His question makes it clear that Paul has concluded that he needs help from someone outside of himself if he will ever be delivered. And that's true of us as well. Shall deliver me, suggests, shall save me, shall rescue me, or shall set me free. And in verse 25, we see what Paul realizes. I thank God that deliverance comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In verse 25, Paul answers his own question from verse 24, but he does not express himself completely. His answer is, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But in order to complete the thought, you and I, the readers, must supply something in our minds or thinking, such as that deliverance comes or that deliverance is, so that the entire answer, if completely expressed, would read, I thank God that deliverance comes through Jesus Christ or our Lord, or I thank God that deliverance is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Deliverance is possible for the believer. How can we get it? In verse 25, we see that Paul also realizes with the mind, I serve the law of God. Paul concludes his thoughts in chapter 7 with a summary. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Remember, he's writing this probably in about AD 56 or 55. It's not his experience prior to his being filled with the Spirit. He's saying this as a present experience. Deliverance from this body of death has already been provided for him as well as for us. Two words which are translated so then are used together for emphasis. I serve suggests I serve as a slave, or I perform the duties of a slave, or I obey with my mind, by means of my mind. And what Paul is serving with his mind is the law of God, which is best understood as God himself. It is God he serves by means of his mind. In addition, we see in verse 25, that Paul realizes with the flesh, I serve the law of sin, but introduces a contrast. With the flesh is by means of the flesh, where the flesh is the old sin nature. With the flesh, Paul serves as a slave to the law of sin. The law of sin means sin itself. Although Paul serves God by means of his mind, he serves sin by means of his old sin nature. Okay. So I recognize that I have two natures. That's a start. I have an old sin nature which will never improve, and which will always be in opposition to whatever God wants in my life. And I also have a new, sinless, Christ-like nature, which will always want to do what is right and will always seek to be pleasing to God. I've got both of these in me. How do I deal with it? Here's the answer. How do I deal with this situation? The answer is that I need to starve my old sin nature. I must stop feeding my mind on things which are sinful. I must be starving my old sin nature by not doing what my old sin nature wants me to be doing, or going where my old sin nature is being fed. Instead, I must be feeding my mind on the things of God, diligently studying the scriptures and seeking diligently to put them into practice in my life. In other words, I must be feeding my new Christ-like nature. I must be feeding my mind by being present and paying attention in all the services of a church where the Bible is faithfully and accurately taught. For the rest of my life, I must starve my old sin nature while I keep feeding my new, sinless, Christ-like nature. So how are we doing? Do we need to make some changes in our lives? Make whatever changes you need to make sure you're starving your old sin nature while feeding your new sinless nature. It will be well worth your effort. Now you think through the days. What is it that you might be doing that feeds the old sin nature? You think that through. I wonder if the internet could be the problem. Oh, the internet's got all kinds of garbage on it. It's also got some good uses. The TV. What you read? Listening to the news. You know, they often put on terrible things on the news. They don't put much good on there. Of course, there may not be much good going on. I don't know. Yes, I do know. Starve the old nature, but feed the new one. And you'll feed it by the study of the Word of God. And that's where a good church, which teaches the Word of God, not just the gospel message, which is important, but it's just the basis where we start. But the believer needs more than just John 3:16. We need God's whole counsel, a whole Bible. Study it. So how much time do you give to studying your Bible throughout the week? Consider increasing that immensely as best you can. I know. You have children to take care of. You have a spouse to take care of. You have a job to do. You have a house to take care of. I understand. You have to sleep every once in a while. I mean, if nothing else, you sleep in church on Sunday morning. You make up for lost time. No, I'm teasing. Nobody's asleep that I've seen. So if you're asleep, don't tell me. I'll just forget it anyway. Starve the old nature. Feed the new Christ-like nature. It'll be well worth your effort. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this portion of thy word. And though it seems a little confusing, yet help us, our Father, to understand it and help us to, in fact, starve that old sin nature and feed the new Christ-like nature and be more and more like the Lord Jesus in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.